The village of Old Deerfield, Massachusetts, is dedicated to preserving the early American past. Scholars at the cutting edge of colonial and Native American history frequent the libraries and museums. Still, on the main street of Deerfield today, most tourists and many locals know only sketchy details about the French and Indian raid of 1704.
Part of it started at one of the first houses, I think, that they attacked over here. Was it the Williams? Might have been. I don't know.
Congregants in one local church can probably tell you something about the English settlement, the long march to Canada, and the captives.
Well, I know that the Indians came and they captured a bunch of settlers and dragged them off to Canada.
Is this one where they took the women and children up into Canada and Vermont? I've read about it.
The international tension led to the French using the Indians against the English settlers, sort of as mercenaries. But I'm not sure about that.
Scholars have only recently begun to sort out who the native groups were and to better understand their motives and relationship with the colonial French in Canada.
Traditionally, the natives have been portrayed as kind of the minions or puppets of the French, whose reasons don't really have to be explained, sometimes just crudely explained as, well, they're savages.
Historian Kevin Sweeney's recent book, Captors and Captives, the 1704 French and Indian Raid on Deerfield, takes a more nuanced approach.
We found the identity of specific individuals as well as some sense of the range of the groups involved and knew that they had different histories, assumed that they probably had different reasons for participating.
The Native perspective has long been absent from public histories, even though Natives have been living in the Connecticut River Valley for millennia. Historian and Abenaki Indian Marge Bruschak.
The story of English occupation of Deerfield is that much time in the long span of history. It's a breath. It's a heartbeat.
When English settlers first arrived in Deerfield, they displaced the original inhabitants, the Pocumtuck, who blended into other northern tribes in diaspora. In the early 1700s, the Pocumtuck, together with the Abenaki, asked the French for help in getting back access to their homeland.
The French promised as much. The French priests, the Jesuit records, they all say, you know, we will help you. We will help you remove these people from your lands.
Indeed, rumor had it that the French were already planning an assault against the English. That's because the imperial powers of France and England were at war to control North America. And Sweeney says those tensions spilled over into the colonies.
Neither of them, however, had the military potential in North America to really win a decisive victory and to survive and to win whatever offensive victories they could. They really needed the aid of native groups.
Governor Vaudreuil of New France called together several nobles, including Jean-Baptiste Hertel de Rouville, son of an aspiring noble family.
Combat gave them an opportunity to advance themselves and to advance their families. At the time of the raid on Deerfield, both the Bouchers and the Hertels families' aristocratic or noble status was under question. And by having their sons go out and do this, this just added to their prominence, their demonstration of their loyalty to the king.
The French also turned to the Wendat in northern Quebec. These people had thoroughly incorporated missionary Catholicism into their traditional spiritual practices, and Catholicism, the French believed, was a critical glue in holding together their relationship with the natives. More than a century later, this Wendat man named Vincent Prosper was believed to be the first Wendat ordained a Catholic priest. He was recorded in 1911. The largest native group in the raid, the Ganyankahaka Mohawk, had a unique reason to participate in the raid. What anthropologists call the mourning war. A native household mourning the death of family members might wage war against the enemies responsible for the loss and kidnap individuals to adopt as replacement kin, even if the loss came from disease. Ganadakta is the director of the cultural center in the native community of Ganawage, just outside of Montreal.
Smallpox had swept through our communities, and you find that the ones who who die first are the old or the very young. And when the old die, they take knowledge with them. And when the young die, they take your heart with them.
Another key event explains the unusual cooperation among these disparate groups. In 1701, 40 native nations had formed a military alliance with the French during what was called the Great Peace of Montreal. Early in the winter of 1703, these allies began preparations for the 300-mile trek to Deerfield. In the months leading up to the raid, rumors spread throughout New England that trouble was brewing. John Demos is author of The Unredeemed Captive, which recounts the story of the Deerfield captives.
It was a tense time. There's no doubt about that. There were special services in the church to pray for peace.
Deerfield families gathered in the church for song and prayer, led by the Reverend John Williams.
And there were moments when the minister, Reverend John Williams himself, preached at length about the coming dangers.
Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children.
The stakes were rising, the clouds were building, and in a sense, I think the so-called massacre moment was expected.
In the pre-dawn hours of February 29th, 1704, nearly 300 raiders looked down on Deerfield from nearby Pine Hill. Abenaki, Mohawk, Pocumtuck, and Wendat warriors, together with their French allies, dropped their packs, tightened the laces on their snowshoes, secured their hatchets, and loaded their guns. Then, just before sunup, they rushed toward the sleeping village to begin a blistering assault. For WFCR, I'm Susanna Lee.